table setup you've done me here, but I appreciate all your efforts.
Well, it's adjustable.
I know it's adjustable. It's not the way. It's one of those things. There's nothing wrong.
You do it.
It's nothing wrong with it, but it's not the way I do it. But you know what? It's fine. It's perfectly adequate.
Functional.
Functional.
Yeah.
Functional and adequate. Here lies Mark Morgan. That's a hell of an epitaph, isn't it?
I don't know what's going to be on my epitaph.
What do you reckon? A man loved by a few.
He made a lot of videos.
A man.
I don't think I need what are they made of, stone? I just need a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And people can just write whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Wipe it off.
I had some key events and some stats. I just wanted to update you from the most recent games.
Exactly.
People can come in and just write what happened on the most recent test match.
Exactly. Keep me updated.
Amua scored.
Oh, he'll be rolling over in his grave.
Oh, you were so much great prop love, you would have appreciated. Oh my gosh. Let's not think about your death, you know?
Yeah, not for a while, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
You've got another couple of years in you.
Fingers crossed.
Just working yourself to an absolute pulp with that whiteboard.
I've actually been a little bit slack in recent times because...
Have you?
Several, it's the South African kickoff times that have been the killer.
Oh, yeah.
3 a.m.
That's
but they've been playing Italy, and Georgia, and I figured none of those games are going down to the wire.
No, they're
certainly
not. I can
probably just sleep, so I've been sleeping.
You can just catch a replay in the morning. Is that first thing you do when you wake up is watch the replay?
Yep.
Get out of the way.
Roll out of bed, put the game on, and it's kind of nice. The good thing about watching it delayed is you can skip the bullshit.
Yes.
Just
skip. Or anything like that.
Not even the anthems, just like the stoppages.
Yeah. I love a good bit of fast forward action.
Yeah.
I even do, when I get, because I'm most anxious when I watch the All Blacks and the Warriors, but I always watch the Warriors. I'll be out or about on a Sunday, and sometimes I'll come back and the game would have been on for half an hour, so I'll start at the beginning. But what I'll do is, because I feel anxious, I actually just fast forward the sets where the opposition have the team. So I just go, oh, what happened? Oh, they didn't score. Thank goodness.
Okay. Right.
Because I just can't handle. So I do this really weird sort of a viewing of it. Yeah. And there's not a lot of stoppages in league. But I do it for a lot of Super Rugby games and stuff where there's stoppages and stuff. I just fast through it. If the TMOs are going on and on about stuff.
I get that tension sometimes when watching highlights if I'm invested in the result. Because you're watching the highlights, you're like, oh, it's their highlight. No, they've got the ball. Oh, an intercept.
Oh, fantastic. Let's go.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like an intercept. Yeah, that's the thing. You're like, oh, we need to. I just want us to be in the attacking third with the ball.
Yeah.
You know? And then when it's an intercept, the other team.
Oh, brutal.
That's a real kick in the nuts. Once again, we have Hawke's Bay Lager brought to us by Jimmy.
Jimmy
KP, a man who supports the second best bay in the first division. The Premiership, what do they call it these days?
The NPC? I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
there's the Heartland, they got Poverty Bay.
Yeah, the old Povo Bay.
Yeah. Poverty, it's kind of a crap name.
It's a shitty name.
Poverty Bay.
Like, and it was named by Captain Cook because he was like, there's nothing here.
Yeah. It's a bit sad.
Yeah, and people were like, oh.
Like, where are you from? Bay of Plenty. What about you? Oh.
Literally the opposite of Bay of Plenty is Poverty Bay.
The fucking north and nothing here.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah.
And the Hawke's Bay just had a bunch of dead carcasses with hawks flying around, and that's
can't
it's
be.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Surely it was named after somebody hawk who spotted the bay or something.
No, it was all these. It was because it's just shitholes and dead possums and stuff. I'm making that completely up.
Surely someone named Hawk is the person that it's named after.
Perhaps
it's got an E in it.
Yeah, that's not a person hawk, is it? Although there's a anthropomorphic, is that what the word is? What is it?
I got it right last time.
You got it right or wrong?
I think right.
All right, fantastic. Human with a magpie's face. It's a magpie.
Yeah.
Not a hawk.
I saw a magpie bombing a kitten the other day.
Seriously?
Yeah, this kitten was just like chilling out around the base of a tree. Like not a real, real young kitten, but like I'm exploring on my own without my mum's supervision kind of kitten. And this magpie was just like...
Yeah, magpies are brutal. You know what's...
The kind of dicks.
Birds can be pretty freaky.
Yeah.
Like I go paddleboarding out in the Waitemata, and if you go, there's these mangroves that go out for a couple of Ks into the Waitemata at the tip of the peninsula.
Mm.
and there's all these breeding grounds out there, and I go by, and they're all got their babies there, and then they all just start circling above and swooping in, and you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, it's like they do not like it if you get up in their shit.
You know,
and I'm just like, I'm just trying to pedal. Yeah. I'm not a threat.
Yeah, I know.
Leave me alone.
Many years ago, I think after the 2019 World Cup, I had a bit of a windfall in terms of my income because I was still working full time and I had YouTube, and interest levels were never higher. So I bought a drone. I bought it from Cash Converters, but I bought a drone. I was like, oh, I'll fly my drone. And then as I took it off in the little park with nobody around, I started hearing, and I was like, oh, there's some birds. Like, they're not connecting. Like, the reason the birds are fucked off is because you're flying a drone.
You're in their space.
So, yeah, so pretty much as soon as I took off, the birds just started bombing my drone. They didn't get the drone, but the magpies were smart enough to know that even once I landed the drone, they kept bombing me because they were like, that's your drone.
Yeah, it can be pretty intimidating.
So now when I hear those alarm calls, I'm like, spurwing plover. That's a spurwing plover, because I know those pricks.
Are you a bird watcher?
I never used to be, but now I'm fucking eagle eye for those pricks. I don't even fly the drone anymore, but...
Yeah. You see a lot of cool birds when you're out in the water. It's a weird fit, like, to hook back on the paddleboarding. When you're going past their breeding grounds and you're out there where humans very rarely are, there's thousands of them just screaming at you, and you're like, just...
just chill.
Everyone just chill.
Yeah.
Everyone just chill. Anyway, Mark.
Bird chat.
Bird chat. That's why you join us on...
2 cents gets distracted. Bird chat podcast.
It does have a bird on the logo.
That's true. That's you.
That's Kiwi.
The distracted Kiwi.
You are the sense.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So here we are. You were here over the weekend, Mark.
I was. Just 2 days ago.
Other than the rugby, was there any highlights of being here at the house?
It was interesting to watch a game of rugby with you without it being a live stream, because we pretty much always watch games
live streaming.
I came over for the All Blacks game. We didn't stream it. No, we just kind of chilled and watched some rugby.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't have pants on.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
Beating that meat. Go with the All Blacks.
Oh, go Ducky, Aho. Ducky, ah!
Throw that light out.
Yeah, exactly. The light out went a bit to shit after he left.
That's
it. Anyway, we won't get into that just too soon. So, yeah, that was the first time we'd ever... You were like, we've never watched a game of rugby together. I was like, well, yeah, never not streaming it.
Basically.
We still talked to them. I think we were very similar.
I think we have done, like, live streams in the past where we sat around and started watching the second game, and then I left after, like, half time or something.
Yeah.
It was getting late.
Yeah, that would be as close as it's
But nothing like an All Blacks game.
No. And it was a bit squeaky butt stuff as well.
It was.
Yeah.
Bit of tension. A little bit of drama.
Yeah, exactly.
A few key events.
Especially when I was out there beating my meat as well.
Well, I didn't do it long.
Exactly. That didn't make the whiteboard.
No. It's not a key event. It's just an event.
Tony ejaculated around 3 minutes. Yeah.
Exactly. And he fell asleep on the couch. Yeah,
exactly.
Woke up right at full time.
Yeah, hello.
Easy win.
How we doing? Yeah. Then, my partner was just on the other end of the couch, just watching her screen with her headphones on.
It's quite amusing because she's got a boisterous laugh during watching TV shows.
Yeah,
we're sitting there watching the game and there'll be some tense moment. She's just like, ah! Whoa.
Yeah, she's
I
got
didn't think it was that funny
laugh.
That the French just won a turnover.
Exactly.
Those bastards.
She just loves it when the French get like jackal ball at ruck time.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
it's
right.
Great.
That's right.
Was she on the couch while we were live streaming?
Yeah, at the start anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. She was trying to help us with
the static.
We had quite a lot of technical issues.
We had static in the background.
No, we were black at the start.
We had... I don't mean
we were blackface. I mean that
we had
a black screen.
Yeah. The trouble was I set up OBS for us to record video. And then there's a very similar one called Streamlabs for doing the live stream. It's made by the same people.
Right.
And I set up OBS... And then I just started the live stream 5 minutes later or whatever to do the live stream, but hadn't set it up.
Oh.
So.
Rookie
mistake.
Oh, well. We got through it. And then it went to static, and then
The audio cut out. Because the batteries ran out.
Yeah, that's right.
Good times.
We resolved it all. And you
a good time was had by all.
And you made some cash.
Milo bought a bunch of memberships for people.
Yeah.
Frankie,
I'm looking forward to my big cut of that.
Several others dropped.
Are we going to get in? I know we get Beer Man buying us beer. We're still open for.
This is true.
Monetary.
Our man Jimmy brought us these beers so we can talk some sweet, sweet NPC, in particular his Hawke's Bay Magpies, once the season starts.
Baywatch.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect pun. Look at that.
Hey. Some people stand in the darkness.
But yeah, if you want to sponsor us.
Jimmy likes to watch the bay.
Buy us some more beers. Feel free. It's not, we're not exclusive with
Jimmy.
With Jimmy. We've got an open relationship.
Yeah, we have an open relationship. It was more than a one night thing, but he doesn't mind if we fuck other people.
So if you've got
yeah.
a thing you want us to talk about, I would say business? A company, but we've had CVs, we've had like boxing gyms, dog walkers, we've had boat deliverers,
wedding bands,
and all kinds of stuff. If you want us to talk about that.
What was the one that was like people who did like things around the house in the Coromandel? What were they called?
Yes.
They had a funny name.
Yes.
And I said it in a weird way.
Yes.
It's like, boo rag.
So it escapes me, which is terrible.
They're probably watching. And they're like, this is my chance for a free plug.
I know.
Do-rag.
Tweeddale.
Tweeddale.
There we go.
Tweeddale.
Still get there.
Yeah, thank you, Tweeddale.
Oh, by the way, somebody, if you're the person who sent me an email about a rugby jersey, it went to my junk and I deleted it by accident. I noticed it right as the inbox was clearing.
And you can't get it out of junk once you delete it out of junk.
So
she's gone.
Whether you were sending me a jersey, asking where to buy a jersey, if you emailed me about a jersey, I deleted it by accident. I apologize. All right,
that's bonus fodder for you as well.
It might have just, I often get emails like, where do you buy this jersey? So it might have just been that.
Right.
So if that was you, I apologize.
When was the last time you got a jersey sent to you?
It's been a wee while.
Yeah. Well, you only wear jackets anyway.
It's cold.
It is flipping cold. They're rare in the dead of winter here in New Zealand.
That's right.
We're right in the thick of it.
You know where else it's winter?
Here, Australia.
Australia!
Yes.
Finally.
Australia.
After all the build-up.
We got a game of rugby.
We got a test match.
Mm.
No Rugby World Rankings points on the line because it's the British and Irish Lions.
No. But a huge amount of prestige.
That's right.
The prestige. And esteem. You know what? I've been seeing a lot of comments, people saying, it was a piece of shit game. I enjoyed it
as well.
Yeah, I thought it was intense. I was invested even though I was a neutral, technically a neutral. Didn't feel
I think we neutral. Were quite openly rooting for the Aussies just as the underdogs of all underdogs.
Yeah, exactly. We lost our shit when Jorgensen scored.
Yeah, we did. we went bananas when Jorgensen scored because we just wanted them to make a game of it.
100%. I want them to make a series of it.
That's right.
And
they kind of did in the second half.
Yeah, they played it right in the second half. I think the Lions wouldn't be happy with their effort in the second half.
No. You feel like if the Lions had played at a level they're capable of for the 80 minutes, the scoreline's probably a bit further out than 27-19.
Yeah. I don't think it was, in terms of the golf and class between the two teams,
that was still kind of apparent, particular, wasn't it?
In that particular effort, it looked as though there was a bit of a chasm between the two.
Mm.
But
not insurmountable.
Well, rugby's a funny game.
Mm.
You know, you frustrate your opponents long enough. They showed that they can make it scrappy and niggly. They were working incredibly hard in the breakdown. They did have the better of the half in a lot of different respects. Mm. They scored more points than obviously in the second half.
Yeah.
They outscored them.
Yeah, two tries to one in the second, but
They just need to do everything they possibly can to stifle the flow and not let the Lions get front football and the ability to get charging, you know, momentum with those forwards and also some of those backs.
I felt like it was probably the worst possible start.
It was an awful start.
The Wallabies, because they went down like 10 points to nil within. It was looking like, Jesus, it's going to be a point a minute.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. A minute and a half, they had 3 points.
Yeah.
So they were going
basically from the kickoff.
They were going for 160 points, 2 points a minute. Yeah, it was like kickoff, penalty, 3 points. Okay, all right, that's shake it off. But you, no way to escape. That's not a good start.
Yeah.
And then a relatively simple try to
Tuipulotu.
Tuipulotu, who, which feels, you know, we won't get into all that shit, but it feels a little bit stingy. The Victorian scoring there and doing kisses to the crowd. And then once, who was the disallowed try? Once that had happened, I was like...
Oh, yes. Was that a maul? I watched so much rugby over the weekend.
It wasn't an obstruction. Yeah, I think it was an obstruction or something. And it was a good looking try.
Yes, it was just one of those traditional, it's a try, that's looking like curtains for the Wallabies. Oh, the TMO's giving us a check.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those, oh yeah, check. But
we usually can't stand the check.
I hate the checks. I do. And sometimes you like it when it's your team that gets awards, but just in general in rugby, I really don't like the checks. But anyway, so at that point, I'd thrown the microphone away. I did the whole rather symbolic of
this. Is going to be 17-0.
17-0 after 18 minutes. And I was thinking, jeez, this is going to be...
Only is this not going to be competitive, this is going to be just embarrassing.
The whole series is feeling like it's going to be bit shit.
Yeah.
But from there, that was a bit of a turning point, and the Australians started to get a little bit of parity at ruck time.
Yes.
In the collision, they started to work a lot stronger. And
this
Jorgensen
scrum did okay.
There was parity. There wasn't dominance.
They won a few penalties there.
Yeah, yeah. And then Jorgensen pulls out a screamer. You know,
that was a wee bit against the run of play.
Yeah, it was great.
May have been the Wallabies' first 22 entry. I don't remember, but it was. Yeah, there weren't many attacking opportunities for the Wallabies up until that point.
Jorgensen was my man of the night for the Australians, I'd say. I thought he looked the most likely whenever he had ball in hand.
Mm.
A lot more threatening than the man with the invisibility, the cloak of invisibility on.
Old Ari.
Ari, what are you doing? Why are you here, Potter? I should have expected you here, Potter. Always on the wing, Potter. Okay, anyway, it's really dumb. His name is Harry Potter. Spelliarmus.
His life's hard enough as it is.
Could have done better than that, Potter. Your
foot in touch, Potter.
Exactly. Oh, he screwed. Actually, that led to the first try. Was they kicked it? I think it was. I forgot his name. Finn Russell did a raking kick, and he really should have been able to keep it in, but he tried to regather it and then just knocked it off. It was like, Expelliarmus! I don't want the ball.
It wasn't his finest moment. But exactly. Well, they did score.
His finest moment was really when he took down Voldemort in the Deathly Hallows Part 2. That was huge. You know,
big game player.
Big game player, wand against wand. Same, they both had they're twin wands.
Oh, right.
Because they both have they have a feather from the same phoenix in them or something like that. Something along those lines.
No TMO calls in that action.
Absolutely not. It was
let
just
the boys play.
There's just a lot of, it was dribbling. You see when they do the thing, there's like dribbling sparks coming off it. That's how intense it was.
You're a bigger Harry Potter guy than I am.
I like Harry Potter. I do. The series, the books, everything. Anyway, we don't need to talk about Potter anymore.
How about some curry?
I thought he was outstanding, and he was
a try.
And he actually, it was a big moment. You know, what was it going into halftime? I can't remember.
2-1 plus a penalty.
Was it 19-12 or something like that going into halftime, or even closer than that? And the Wallabies tried to do the big long one, and then he, quick thinking, acted fast on the play, got the intercept at the back of the line out, and that's what turned into their first try. They got front football from there and then got their first try in the second half.
Yes.
And that was a big moment.
Yeah, he had a few big moments. He's one of the few guys. I mean,
that was their last scoring, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Lions selection is always divisive, and there's so many good open sides in that squad.
Jack Morgan, Pollock,
and Josh van der Fleer, like former freaking world player of the year. They could have picked a bunch of guys there, and they went with Curry, who wasn't many people's first choice pick, but I think Andy Farrell comes out looking pretty justified with that one, scores a try. He maybe could have got yellow carded when he put in that hit on Liner, who was a bit airborne.
Poor old Bock, Ben O'Keefe, has been copping a bit of flack in the, I've seen.
You and I watched the game live, and I think our feeling was a wee bit like, there's kind of a few 50-50s there.
But they were going.
They went the Lions way?
They were going the Lions way. It felt that way, but
I mean, 50-50s are inherently, sometimes that just happens. Like, you and I could literally flip a coin and get heads three times.
Yeah,
but when
that
happens in a rugby game, sometimes you start to feel a bit like.
Yeah, especially in a rugby game of this importance.
This magnitude,
sometimes you kind of get the, like. how do you say it? Like, I heard Morgan Taranui say on another broadcast, he was like, I think the referee is refereeing to the predicted result, which is like, and that's what they used to say about the All Blacks. The All Blacks used to always get the calls because
basically any other Aussie pundit, I would just dismiss that as hot air, but he's actually the one guy.
He actually gets quite fiery.
He does call it down the middle. Like when his fellow commentators are getting up in arms about a call against the Wallabies, but it's actually a fair call. He'll rein them in and tell them, like, guys, nah, this is the law, because he knows the laws,
I think
better than most of the other commentators. He'll rein them in and maybe not directly, like, slam it in their face, but he'll just guide them to be like, maybe it was actually
He wasn't call. Impressed with the shot in the air on, who was on? Jorgensen. It was on Liner. Liner played with courage, didn't he? Which, it's in the air. He's going up for a high ball. He's getting taken force, pummeled into the ground. It's like, I'm not saying it's a red, but she's a yellow.
I would have thought so.
It's dangerous. Is it because he didn't get put into a super dangerous position?
Yeah, maybe. If he lands on his head there, it's probably a much different story.
But you just can't take blokes in the air.
Yeah.
You know, with force. And what was the other one that would look like it probably could have been yellowish? There was one other one, wasn't there?
There was.
Or was it the fact that they kept on getting...
There was a bunch of infringements. They got warned. Yeah,
and then they did a couple more infringements, but it wasn't quite
there. There was a little bit of a gap, and then there was more infringements, so he just kind of played on. Sometimes refs do that. Some other refs are like, you know, you could go yellow card warning on the 25th minute, and then the next penalty they give away in the red zone in the second half, they're like, right, I warned you. And it's like, whoa, shit. Like
that's pretty shit. It's predict. Like they get three penalties quick succession, and you know, from the 10th minute to the 17th minute, and then you're the second choice. You're coming on as the loosehead prop, and you just lose your bind and the 65th.
You're boom for.
You're off.
You're gone.
You know, but no, I didn't think it was a particularly bad game. I think I felt like there was a level of dissatisfaction from the Lions, even the Lions fans. Like,
you could see it on Itoje's face after the game. That it's like, we won, but he was not pleased.
Yeah, whereas you take that game in 2017 when the Lions beat us in Wellington?
Yeah.
When they, you know, it was a bit of a jammy old night. Sonny Bill got red carded.
Didn't we lead the vast majority of the game? We lost at the death?
Bowden missed like five kicks or something.
Not the first time he's done that in Wellington.
He missed so many kicks at goal, and they won by a point. And they were like celebrating like they were God's gift to rugby.
Mm.
You know, because they managed to scrap out a victory. Like, they got a Lions victory, a Lions test victory. Are they really like, well, we're going to shit all over this team, we're going to make a statement?
There's only like three of them up for grabs every 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
So you got the victory. You didn't lose. Bitch.
You're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
It's match point from here on out.
Yeah, well, they've definitely taken themselves to match three. And boy, can the Aussies do it next round?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, probably didn't help. Like, for the Wallabies, there's that classic, you know, tries on either side of halftime. Curry right before halftime, and then Sheehan right at the start of the second half. I'm
sure Sheehan was outstanding.
Oh, he's always good.
Yeah, he's such a bulldozer, isn't he? He's an absolute freak.
He's a proper freak around the park. There are some guys who are just freaks, and he's one of those
freaky dudes.
There's pictures of him when he was like a toddler, and Jonah Lomu is like playing with him, like he's like got resting. Like he must have like sucked some mojo out of Jonah. I don't know.
He's got a big old blockhead. You know, he looks like a Frankenstein head that's just like overgrown.
He plays rugby.
Just like
he's very mobile and I don't know,
quick, powerful,
yeah,
scary, really good player. Really outstanding player.
Yeah.
What did you think of young man making his starting debut against the British and Irish Lions, old son of Liner?
Yeah, I think he's come in for a bit of flack, and it's a bit harsh because...
It's incredibly harsh.
The Wallabies were certainly under the pump as the game started.
Yeah.
And came into the game in the second half.
Mm.
And he didn't play as much game time in the second half as like when Donaldson comes on. So Donaldson gets to come on.
But he had to stay on top of the cards in the first half. Yeah, and he was playing behind a pack that was going backwards.
So, it's a bit harsh, but...
What do you expect? He's playing his bloody...
I know.
Test starting debut.
It's not the ideal situation.
And hadn't he only come on against a minnow or something before?
Yeah. He's not had a lot of minutes at test rugby. But I don't know. I feel like Joe keeps things pretty consistent. He's not really a big chop and change guy with 10. So I think Linus still gets the nod.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, maybe everything's on the line for test two. Maybe he does pull the trigger on like a James O'Connor or something. Who knows?
Wow. I'd love to see that, actually.
Tizzano did get a try on 68, which got them back within touching distance. But then there was that Lions penalty.
Yeah.
Which just made it. Once it was two scores again, you're like, this is probably done.
Well, you and I were watching like a couple of sad, pathetic boys, hoping that the pretty girl would talk to us. But knowing it's probably in not reality, it's not probably not going to happen.
Mm.
She's hanging out with Steve.
Steve.
Fucking Steve. And it was, you just go, God, one more try, and then it could be a grandstand finish. Just give us a grandstand finish.
Yeah.
I'm fucking jonesing for a grandstand finish.
Yeah.
But a grandstand finish we did not get, but they got a late try, made the scoreline look relatively predictable. Do you think that game does more for the Wallabies' confidence than hinders it?
I think they can take enough from that second half that they go in with some belief for game two.
Okay. Same question, but for the Lions, do you think that does more to like light the fire in the belly to be like, we can fucking destroy these guys?
Yeah, We're a much better team. I think likewise for game two, they'll be thinking, we can't do the same thing as last week. We can't leave the door open.
They're not playing with the sense of complacency. They're playing with the sense of urgency to be able to show.
Yeah. I reckon.
Come on.
So it's a tasty spot for game number two.
And what it's in bloody Victoria, eh?
Yeah.
100,000 MCG.
That's Aussie Rules Stadium.
Holy smokes. I've been there.
I've been there as well.
I watched Essendon versus Fremantle.
I watched Essendon versus.
You're a Bombers fan.
Geelong.
Oh, yeah. I went to the
grandmother was a Bombers fan.
I'm a Bombers fan. See the Bombers rise up to win the premiership flag.
The worst, oh, the try the best, but they can't
win the Bombers.
It's quite a long game, isn't it? A long game, isn't it? It's like, is it 2 hours?
Yeah. I don't know.
I may have told the story before, but I went there to the MCG. I was 9 or 10.
Yes, you've told the story, and you sat through a whole game. You're like, thank God that's over. And you're like, that was the curtain raiser.
Yes.
Yes.
But it was
more entertaining. By the way, I should let you tell the story because probably most people watching
it. It was more entertaining for the second one because the curtain raiser, there was fuck all people. I was like, this is boring.
No one's
here. But the second game was better because there was a crowd and there was atmosphere. Yeah, even as a kid, not knowing what the fuck was going on, I could still get into it.
Yeah. I watched, when I watched it, they were like, it was at, it's a massive stadium. And they're like, oh, it's a shit crowd today. There's only 40,000 people here. I was like, oh,
yeah.
And it was cool. They let you go on the ground after the game and all that sort of jazz.
Aussies are very into their sports.
Especially in Victoria. Well, Victoria, it's a next level thing with AFL.
The tribalism, mate.
They don't actually know the difference between AFL fans and most. Your average AFL fan in League Victoria doesn't really know the difference between League and Union. And then they'll say things like, oh, yeah. I remember watching a bit of League in the early 90s, and they'll say things like, oh, so I know George Gregan. And you'd be like, oh, yep, he was a player. And he's like, oh, yeah, John Eales. And you're like, yep, John Eales.
Golden generation, that
he
one.
He was a player. And they're like, oh, there was, it's like Gambo or something like that. And you're like, Campo, yeah. So they're just like, it's a super foreign sport. It's like me trying to remember, like, Chicago Bulls in the 90s, you know?
It's very regional over there, right?
Yeah.
We don't get that same thing here in NZ.
Yeah.
Tyke Byrne was also another one of the guys who was kind of a bit of a, he's not in the best form. Wonder why they picked him. I was kind of happy they picked him because I've been bleating on about the fact that I thought Itoje would be in the locks and Byrne would be in the loose forwards, and that's how Andy Farrell played it. I was like, hey.
It's a big old piece of man, mate.
I'm like a broken clock can be right every now and again, right? Twice a day. So I was right about that one, and then there was a lot of calls about him maybe not being in the best form, but he got man of the match. I'm sure he's drinking.
He played really
that.
Well.
Yeah, he did. He was involved in a bit of everything.
Yeah, he did very good.
So.
All to play for next week. Come on, Wallabies.
The Wallabies need to win that, please.
Please.
Give us a grandstand in game three.
Can I be honest with you? I would give the Wallabies. I don't really do odds in terms of like gambling odds because I don't gamble. I don't really understand. You know how they say they're $1.65. I'm like, you're a dollar ten, dick. So basically, I know. So if you put on a dollar, you get a dollar ten back. Basically, mm-hmm. if you get to put on a dollar, you're a dollar 65. That's I'd how it say works. I'd say that.
I think in the last game, the Wallabies were like $3, and the Lions were like $1.33.
I would say that Australia is $3.85.
Right, longer odds this time.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think? That's rude.
I think it's about right. The Lions are playing tomorrow.
Who are they playing?
A Pacific First Nations 15. Kind of like a Maori and Pacific Aboriginal team.
Okay.
So I feel like it's going to be...
Any players of note?
I mean, Kirtley Beale's playing for them.
Oh, the old beatster.
And a few of the guys, I think Taniela Tupou's playing, and Brendan Payne West, like a few of the fringe Wallabies guys are playing.
Is some Maori boys playing, or?
I believe so. I haven't...
I'd love to see, like, Tawira Kubalo.
I don't think he's playing. But yes, basically... Clyde Cooper. It's the dirt trackers for the... Lions, obviously. Yeah, like, if you're playing Tuesday, you're probably not playing Saturday.
Yeah, I'd say
firing.
So.
I think Owen Farrell's captain.
Must be tiring, even just as a coaching staff, like having to get up.
So many games.
Yeah, just
give me a week off.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
They're really, like, I guess they have the whole bloody normal, the Six Nations off.
Yeah.
And when this is over, old Farrell just goes back to Ireland. Heard that was great. He's not Irish.
He's English.
Yes. Yes. He's a former league player.
Yes.
That's why he understands defences so well.
Whoa!
Which shots fired.
That's the Lions test number one. We talked about it.
Should we talk about, a game that just stopped the rugby world, brought it to its knees, and everyone was just overwhelmingly compelled to, you know, watch the game and just remember where they were in the moment as the game happened. And I'm talking about South Africa versus Georgia.
I thought you were going to go to New Zealand, France. You're going with South Africa first. Look at you.
No, I don't care. We can play it. We can
that
watch
one
it.
More or less went.
No, let's talk New Zealand, South Africa.
No, you've started it now.
Oh, shit.
More or less exactly as it was predicted. Like, the box was supposed to win by about 45 points. Some bookies had them at 44, some had them at 46. It ended up 45.
I, for some reason, had in my head, when I heard the score, I was like, oh, shit. That's not that much. Mm. Like, I thought they were going to pants him by 70, 80 or something like that. Because I'm hearing all these scores of the Ireland B team smashing Portugal by 100 and whatnot. Mm. And I'm thinking, oh, there's
yeah, well, the Irish B team smashed this pretty much exactly the same Georgian team over in Tbilisi a couple of weeks as well.
By how much?
Not as much. But it was way, 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 like, how many guys have the Irish got with the... With the Lions, and they were in Tbilisi, they weren't in Ireland, so...
Yeah, yeah, and that was... well, the South Africans were already blooding a few players.
They did, obviously, new front row.
Yeah, Vandermeer.
Vandermeer bagged a couple in his debut.
Not Duhan Vandermeer.
They got two of their own Vandermeer. They don't need Duhan.
Duhan is one of theirs, but... he's playing for the Lions, which makes a huge amount of sense. Him and Taniela Tupou from the same place in Scotland... Not there.
Taniela Tupou?
No, no, just Taniela Tupou. You know what I mean?
Sione
Tuipulotu.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Damn it. That would have been good if I got the names right.
It would have.
Damn it. Anyway, it was great to see a bit of first blood. And
the Georgians scored first.
Yeah, and from on a maul. A maul.
What is up with the box? They conceded a maul against the Italians, and they conceded a maul against the Georgians.
Cracks appearing. Maybe. I wonder what GME tactics they can put in place.
I've seen some comments from South Africa fans saying, like, Tony Ball has gone too far. Not you. Oh. Like, Tony Brown. You know? Like, because they did cough up a shitload of ball in that game. Like, the Bok hands let them down a few times. I mean, they still scored 55 points. They had a period at the start of the game where they scored three quick tries.
Yeah.
And they had those three quick tries at the end, but the rest of it was a little bit, like, scrappy. I was off and on. Like, yeah, at times it was great, at times it was not.
It seemed in the first half they needed to really, in terms of the way they were scoring their tries, they went through, you know, flights of fancy in the back line. It was just tuck it under the shirt and let's get some more
try
tries.
Try number one's the loose head prop. Try number two is the hooker. Then you got Kane and Moody who got one. That one was pretty sweet. Yeah. And then the hooker who got a second one.
Kane and Moody wasn't the captain, was he?
No.
Who was the captain?
Sia Khaleesi.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Because I was watching a highlight and it said, add to the captain. And I was like, this fucking Kane and Moody, he's not the captain. What are you talking about?
He did. Khaleesi did have to go off early on for HIA, but he came back on pretty quickly.
Did they put?
Itzebeth was captain when he was.
Yeah, I don't think Cannon Moody's captain material right now.
Not yet. Still a young man.
No offense, Moody.
Sasha Feinberg and Gomazulu missed a few of his kicks, made more apparent by the fact that when Andre Pollard came on, like his first kicks from the sideline, he's just like, yeah. Two World Cups, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't miss goal kicks.
Yeah, and also Sasha has all the skills in the world, is more of a physical presence than the likes of Damien McKenzie and could be one of the world's best players, but he ain't going to be no Dan Carter if he can't kick his kicks.
True.
Dan Carter has the world record for
points scored,
and that's a man who kicks his kicks. So that guy, and that's just a practice one. That's just like, how much do you want to practice?
How much
you're actually going to get out there is turn up before everyone else shows up, stay there after.
Sasha has a lot of games where he kicks them all, but I guess
maybe it's just a night where the boots went on.
Maybe
he was out there on bare feet.
Sometimes it happens. But they did score some pretty slick ones in the second half.
Yeah, it seemed to be when they felt as though that there was never any chance of it being a boil over at any stage. Mm. But it felt at times in the first half
A bit closer than expected.
Yeah, well, this is a bit tense. Yeah. They're really having to work for this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the Georgians are putting them under pressure in a few spots.
Yeah, the Georgians had some moments.
And it felt like the rookie Springbok side was kind of somewhat feeling the effects of that internal pressure.
Maybe.
You know, within South Africa that they would have been judged. And it felt as though some of that pressure eased in the second half as they were able to just, back their skills, back their pace, back their freaky, amazing athletes.
Yeah, well, they didn't concede any points in the second, so...
Yeah, and then you saw the fire and the heart. Not that they obviously, I'm not going to say that the Georgians kept on trying their best and playing hard, but they once they realized that we're really sticking it in these boys at the moment, that spark in the collisions kind of dropped off a touch.
Yeah. You saw that at the end because I mean they scored how many 3 tries in the last 10 minutes. So that's kind of like, I hate to say this.
Don't say it then if you hate to say it.
But, like, you know the All Blacks team?
I know the All Blacks. I've heard of them.
Who were for a long time, like, the, what do you call it?
Pinnacle?
The pinnacle or, like, the bar, what do you call it? Where the bar is set, the team who sets the bar, whatever.
The standard? The
there
bar.
There you go, sets the standard, right?
Yeah.
Their whole thing was, you can compete with us for 40 or 50 or 60, but come the last 20 or 10.
We're going to press that button.
We're going to press that button. We're going to score maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, and we're going to make you look silly.
Yeah. We're going to make you think, why are we even playing the sport?
South Africa.
Mm. We were doing it against teams like France and Wales.
I know this is only Georgia, but still, that's, I don't know. I just feel like that's...
I think that the Bok fans are a lot like the All Blacks fans, especially from our peak times, who are just like have exceptionally high standards. And I don't think there'll be a lot of Bok fans who'll be like, walking away going, that was a supreme performance by our boys.
Right.
I think. And that's good. I think it's a good thing. I think, people play to expectations.
Yeah.
And having high expectations is a great thing for your team.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll be going away going, and I didn't think, we mentioned, you and I, at the end of the France All Black game, we were saying, I don't think that's a game where the Springboks are going,
checking the boots,
But I think, conversely, the game that the Springboks put in wasn't a game that we'd be shaking our boots from watching.
It's funny, all the rugby championship teams this weekend.
Like how much we take from a B team?
The Wallabies lost. The All Blacks got like a good enough performance against the French.
Mm.
The Box got a good enough performance against the Georgians, and even the Argentinians had a good enough performance against Uruguay.
I didn't watch that one.
Okay. But nobody was like, holy hell, these guys look, amazing 80 minutes. That's like everyone should be shaking in their boots. So everyone in the rugby championship still has a bit of work to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still early in the season, and
exactly.
And maybe that's one of the rough things for the Australians as well. Is, we talk about how difficult it must be to bring four nations into one, but they've been in camp since bloody May, haven't they? They've been in Portugal, and they've played a whole bunch of games. They've been around each other. They've had countless training sessions, the Lions, and these guys played one game against Fiji,
yeah.
In a game,
and in that game, they got their key 10 injured.
And they looked shaky, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's the beginning of the season.
It is quite different. Like, they've literally got, like, three of the biggest tests in the, you know, of a 12-year cycle.
Yeah.
But we've got France, BC, like, South Africa has got, like, Georgia, Italy, and then Argentina.
It also
had the Lions, but, yeah.
It's that old argument why the... You know, all the World Cups bar one have been won by by rugby championship teams.
Yeah.
But somehow it's not the greatest rugby championship. I don't know how, but it's not the greatest rugby championship, but just the best players and the best teams. Proven by the tournaments where the best teams play the best players. Best players and the best teams play each other to see who's the best.
If you're not following what the hell's going on, he doesn't like the tagline for the Six Nations, which is rugby's greatest championship.
But with a grand total of one World Cup between the lot of you. Anyway, where was I going with this?
It's just a marketing tagline. But Tony doesn't like it.
I take offense, sir. But to count contrary to my point, it's at the end of... our sort of super champion rugby championship season, we get a World Cup, and our teams have been battle tested,
right?
You know, against each other, you know, really hardened,
yeah.
And then we go in, whereas the Northern Hemisphere teams
come in with like a few warm up games,
yeah, and then they've got to kind of jump in and might be a hop behind. That's kind of the position where our teams are right now, especially the Australians. You know,
that's what a lot of Northern Hemisphere teams say as to why they haven't won one more cups.
And also just they're not good enough as well. Because they haven't won, so you haven't been good enough. It's just evident. I take shits. I love everybody.
He just likes poking the
I'm
meat.
Just a shit stirrer, yeah. Okay? I'm sorry! I was born this way. My family doesn't like me either. Okay.
So South Africa, they won.
Yeah, good one, South Africa.
We played France.
Did we?
Yes.
Fantastic.
They went out to a lead. This was our B team, kind of. Yes,
against their B team.
Well,
B-ish.
We had more first choice guys than they did.
So we have, they had B-A. We had
they,
B-A.
They had, we had B-A. B-A they had B-B. B-C. B, maybe B-C.
B-C, before maybe. Christ.
Yeah.
We had Anno Domino.
That's right.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, so it was definitely, it felt, well, the first test felt very uncomfortable too.
Yes.
It was more like that sort of feeling. It felt for long periods of time quite squirmy in the butthole. I felt like...
You might want to get that treated.
I felt like my arsehole dilated for parts of that game and then contracted very quickly as well. So it was like...
Yeah, you may want to get a doctor to look
very,
at that.
It's very much a moving vessel. Nothing prolapsed, okay. So we're okay. You were next to me. I didn't have my pants on, remember?
This is true.
Yeah.
The meat was being beat. Ligarec scored early.
Yes.
They got a drop goal.
Yeah, that's right.
So they had a nice...
Were they eight points up? Did they miss their kick?
Was it 10?
Fuck, it's hard to remember rugby sometimes.
I think it was 10.
So another 10-point start that we gifted them.
They got a conversion. They got the cry... They got either a penalty or a drop goal. I know it was 10-0.
Yeah. We had an early injury in the warm-up to Donaldson, wasn't it? Or was it just...
Jacobson.
Jacobson, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, Jacobson didn't play, so they had to rejig.
Like, very
Rico
late in the
Rico pulled
piece.
Out before the, you know, before a couple of days before. So, yeah, there was a much rejigged All Blacks side. No Bowden Barrett. He's injured.
Got his hand again. Fuck. We need him. We really need him. I really think so.
But kind of like the box, we kept the opposition scoreless in the second half.
Yes.
It was a but we did a... we did struggle to really just cut them to bits.
Yeah.
We had to work and labor.
Yeah.
For some tries. Those French guys can defend and make tackles. And but they made almost 300 tackles in that game.
Serious, tenacious D. They.
I don't think they fired a shot in the second half, though. So it's kind of like I'm torn as to how to feel because it's like both... They didn't do jack, but we labored to score those tries. So there's kind of a bit of a positive negative feeling about it.
Yeah. But I think you can, the positive for the French is just like some serious character that was shown. Like I said in the game, like, it was just a white wall that they were putting up, and it was so hard to break down. Like, they were throwing so much against it. And one of the things noticing a little bit with this Razor All Black side is we're not seeing great ongoing phase play of cohesive running rugby.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of tricky interplay and attempts to do something of great ambition behind the game line that isn't quite coming up.
And then you can lose 5 meters.
And then, D-Mac does a pass to no one, and there's a big, hairy English, no, French boot on it, and we're in our 22 again.
Mm.
You know, like, a little bit, you know, playing behind the game line. There was that 10-15 minute period at the end of the first half of the first test where I was like, oh!
We're starting to click.
That's what it's meant to look like. I just don't feel... It was like it was opening Pandora's box for a moment. And then we're like...
You got a glimpse.
Yeah, what are they trying to do? It's very much so. I think he's like, go out there, trust your skills, trust your handling. We'll put these plays together for you. You know, you're the best players in the world. You can pull it off. But it all seems... There's just an incoming rush defense, and it's all happening back here.
Yeah.
And it all relies on exquisite skill done like at an immensely high level with incoming pressure. Under a lot of pressure. And it's not coming off.
Mm.
Kicking into territory did all right. Radama, I thought both halfbacks played pretty well.
Mm. Hotham, I thought, was pretty sharp when he came on. Yeah. He looked to be injured at the end. I haven't actually read it. Was there an update about that?
No, I haven't actually seen it. Radama set up that first try pretty nicely.
Will Jordan's one.
And that was against the run of play, I felt.
Yeah.
You know, we needed that.
There was just so much acres of space there that the All Blacks were just like, hey-o!
Yeah, exactly. Because we were both watching it.
Where's the fullback?
There should be someone back there, shouldn't there?
Yeah, you were waiting for him just like off screen to just come out of nowhere. We're like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll do it.
And it's like those silly moments. Those silly moments. You go, oh, there's no one. Oh, there's a guy just very casually coming in going, oh, I've got this. but no, there was no... There was no Ramos, because he's in a different country.
Yeah, it was Barre.
Mm. Yeah, and they were playing Will Jordan like Bale Barre. Like,
just kick through for the quick guy.
Well, ain't a bad shout.
It works.
He's a quick guy.
He's a quick guy, all right.
And he's got
some silky skills.
He's got some silky skills and some serious toe and some serious ability if he does... And real drive and tenacity to get himself into those positions you want him to be in. So,
well, it wasn't my favorite try.
No.
Last one, McAllister.
Oh, McAllister's all...
The slide.
Yeah. Like, I thought Tupaia played really well. I thought he carried the ball nicely and looked every inch in All Black 12 for my money. But there was a calming feeling when Geordie came on and every touch he had just steadied the ship a bit. I think he looks better that he's come. He looks better. Thank you, Leinster. He looks better than when he left.
Do that with Rico, please.
Thanks, Rico. And then we'll keep doing this rugby exchange program just as long as you fucking give them back. Oh. We've got no problems with that whatsoever. But the big don't argue on the tired French prop. And then the inside ball, and I was thinking, oh, fantastic. Inside ball, it'll be Jordan or someone like that. Or
Brady McAllister.
And I was like, oh, no, it's one of the fatties. and then Fuku was up on him, and you're thinking, oh, shit.
He's not quite going to make it. Your eyes can judge. You're like, nah, he's not quite going to make it. He's not going to
make it. So he, like, takes a dive 15 meters out.
And just hydroplanes.
And it's like the smarts to do that. Yeah. Like a wet, dewy night. Well, not a wet night, but a dewy night Hamilton, in the middle of winter in New Zealand.
Wet.
And he just slides on into like a debut try.
Exactly.
It was a great moment and showed real awareness and the ability to think that clearly in a high pressure situation. Because that try put the game to bed. It was a pressure try.
Yeah, it was.
You know, like it could have been so easy for Fiku get over the shoulder, get under the ball, and then it's another bloody dropout, and then we cough the ball up again and yada, yada, yada.
That's right. Because up until that point, it's still a one-score game. If the French can go length of the field and score a try, they can steal this game.
Yeah.
And it's like we're just firing shot after shot after shot and can't quite get it. Like, it's more like watching football. Yeah. You know, sometimes you see a team where they have like 20 shots and they can't hit shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the other team just gets like one counterattack and then they just go and score a goal. You're like, yeah, what
and that
the
was
fuck?
Our, that was our fear.
It felt like that.
I felt like that they go down, they get a couple of penalties, they get a maul and they score.
Yeah.
And
first try, you're thinking, oh no, they're going to do it first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, but yeah,
no,
yeah.
It didn't,
yeah.
it didn't happen.
Yeah. It, we had some negative thoughts.
Yes.
The cynical old bastards.
Yes, that's right.
But no, it was really good to see. We kept like a couple of non-try tries, which were a little bit frustrating. I especially De Groot was held up, but it looked like there was no conclusive evidence to say that he put the ball down, and that was and we went upstairs. There was no conclusive evidence to put the ball down, but it was hard to imagine how the ball didn't touch the ground.
Yeah, it's one
if,
of those.
If someone ones. Said to me, "Put your life on it, whether the ball touched the ground or not," I would say, "Oh, probably the ball touched the ground."
Yeah.
But they don't. There's no benefit of the doubt or anything like that. No. And the other one was worse. The other one, I thought you could see the ball hit the ground. Which one was that? It was Papa Lee.
Yes.
Yeah. He and that was a crucial time.
I felt
as
like
well.
That one was a try.
Yeah, that looked like a try. They saw the ball hit the ground. He's over the line in the replays, and they were like,
nah.
"Start I didn't see. I had an itchy nut while the ball was getting put down, so I felt like I don't want to award that one. That one was a bit of a dud call for my in my opinion. I certainly don't want to be a TMO or a referee.
At least we won.
I will just be happy being here, being a shit co-host of.
I didn't read the article.
Yep.
But I saw the headline that apparently Fabien Galthié is not too happy with the refereeing.
All right.
Bit of hometown refereeing.
Really? Oh, actually, yeah, there was that first, the, one of the
we
trial,
thought there was like a knock on yeah, or there, at least we, a four pass. There was like a couple of things. We were like,
ooh.
We're like, they scored the try. Both of us was like, nah, let's just give it a second because you can feel that check coming.
Yeah, I think, whose try was that? That was
Will Jordan's one.
No, oh, no, sorry. ALB. No,
ALB's one, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
there
yes,
was
yes.
A, I thought I saw a pretty clear forward pass.
Yeah.
And they even did an overhead of it. And it was forward. And then there looked like there was a knock on in the build up.
Yeah.
And there was no
they
check check.
It.
And look,
I mean,
that's,
we did have two disallowed, so it kind of evened out the scheme of things, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But that's okay. We're impartial, aren't we?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Try to be.
Just a couple of impartial rugby fans that think that Bok rugby sucks. Just, hey, Mark.
I was sitting there. We rewatched some of the highlights prior to the recording, and we watched those last few Bok tries. And I even looked at you, and I was like, "That was pretty nice." And you're like, "Yeah, that was pretty nice."
yeah. Little flick pass.
yeah, Arceus name is
the
offload.
Only reason I get we got so much shit last week from the Bok.
I don't think it was that bad.
I'm used to getting shit. You were getting shit
because I didn't like the little 5 meter. The little
fucking
kickoff.
Take some criticism, you fucking babies. Like. Not everybody has to like everything your team does. You can feel free to not like something that the All Blacks do. Everyone's got opinions. Deal with them.
Yeah.
Deal with them.
Sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
What else happened? USA played England in a delayed match because of lightning in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
That was 40 points to 5.
Just one
that
last
was,
late last minute try
to the
Yanks.
It was kind of like England C because they've got their Lions out and they had like I think 6 guys on debut for that game, so depth building for what do you think about this? Because you got England, USA, that's tier 1, tier 2, Argentina, Uruguay, South Africa, Georgia, you got a bunch of matches which are on paper going to be 40 point drubbings, and they kind of all were.
Yeah, I feel like I want the Americans to be better than they are.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Even the thing, when I was young, people were talking about, man, if we can get these NFL guys to come in.
Sleeping giant.
The rugby's still sleeping.
Yeah, and they're far too busy doing other things.
There's a lot of sports that pay a lot more money than rugby.
Yeah, 100. You're not going to get those athletes that are getting drafted and getting their first, you know, paychecks.
Look at Lewis Rees-Zammit. Like, he was basically at the pinnacle of the game in Union. He's quite happy to go and just be a squad guy for, like, was it Jacksonville or something? Like, not even get a game. It's just a wider training squad member. On the off chance that he gets an NFL contract, he's still getting decent money. He's getting like $1 million a year or something. I don't know.
Just to go to training. Hey, yeah. Yeah, it's a different ballpark.
It's a different beast, yeah.
Yeah, it's like we. I don't know how they're going to crack that. Like, sure, like if they got some of those freakish athletes they have, we've got freakish athletes in rugby, and they've got freakish athletes over there, but they're just. And there's some, the guys who play rugby look impressive athletes, but they're not the cream of the crop. The cream of the crop play different sports.
Yeah, part of it, I think, is just like you grow up, you know, you learn those lines, you know, you can just look at something and you can tell what it is. It's just a foreign concept when you're learning the game as an adult.
There's this, I don't know, just watching that game, it felt like there's a touch of kind of club rugby-ish to some of the players in the American setup. Some of the backs don't have a lot of meat on them, you know. Like, I know backs are meant to be lean and quick, but they're also meant to have a fair bit of muscle tone as well. But yeah, just, and that's what the MLR has created. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to bag on the US.
Yeah, the MLR, but I think it's pretty much like semi-pro. Like a lot of those guys, I think, still have to have jobs because it doesn't. It's not like a year's wages kind of thing. Yeah. So
what are they earning, like 30,000 US or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a heck of a lot. It's like it's pay to play sports, which is pretty cool, but
better than you get for playing tiddlywinks. Your professional tiddlywinks leagues.
19-0 at halftime. 40-5 at full-time. George Ford, the commentators were just jacking him off the whole game because it's like the only guy they knew. They were just like, George Ford, he's had 100 caps for England. George Ford, he's quite a player. George Ford, give me those nuts. I just love George Ford.
Give me those testies. I like when we were watching, they're like, and we're playing rugby.
Yeah, the American commentary. That game was like free on YouTube as well and Rugby Pass TV. Yeah. I guess they didn't need a broadcaster for that one. But, I mean, it's good. I don't get to see USA plenty many times. I mean, they had a few moments, like a maul that got sacked, and then they had like a scrum in attacking territory, and then England has won a penalty at scrum time. They just never got going.
Would have been 18,000 people there or something like
Something like that. But by then, I think the game finished really late. I watched it delayed, so I don't know what the time delay was like from the actual kickoff. I got the feeling that the crowd went home because they were like, fuck this lightning shit.
Yeah.
It seemed like at the start there were a lot more people and a lot of people just went like,
this is dangerous.
Yeah, no, I'm going to leave.
Have they got a World
Cup? They got the World Cup after this one.
They really do.
They need to get better before then.
How the fuck are they going to... My only problem is like, in a country like New Zealand or South Africa, France to a lesser degree, England... You know, it's a big deal in the country that they're hosting the World Cup.
Mm.
But if they're hosting the World Cup in the US, it's going to be like, the country's not going to give a shit.
Yeah, people aren't going to know what's going on.
Like, where the...
Rugby. That's the one that Ross from Friends played.
Yeah, exactly. And the worst looking scrum ever filmed on screen.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, well, good on you, England.
Well done.
40-5.
Yeah, not much to say. I like the look of that dreaded bloke, whatever his name is.
Oh, Cunning himself? Yeah.
He's got
a start for a change. He's been falling out of favour a little bit.
Yeah.
He did all right. Argentina played Uruguay.
This is one I have no idea what happened. I reckon I'm going to take a punt. Like, pretending we're playing our old game. I reckon Argentina probably won that one.
They won 52-17.
Yeah, right.
But kind of like the South Africa-Georgia game, like the France-New Zealand game, it was... not done and dusted by halftime, but the tier one side with the big second half performance blows the scoreline out. Yeah, Santiago Cordero, their winger, is his last ever game for the Pumas. He managed to score a try.
He's not
going to
go
bench.
Out in the rugby championship.
Nope, calling it quits now. So good one for him. But the good thing about Argentina during these July tests, even though they lost both their games against England, is they have blooded a heap of new guys.
Oh, yeah.
This game, they had a guy who, prior to this July test, they had a 9 who I'd never seen play before, a 10 who I'd never seen play before, a 12 who I'd never seen play before, a fullback who I'd never seen play before, like a bunch of new guys. So Contepomi, I think, is using July to be like, some of you guys can have a rest ahead of the Rugby Championship and we'll give these guys a crack.
So good kind of strategy to it. And
I think so. Because like the Pumas are in a position like the box where they don't have a proper off-season.
They played a flipping test match against the Lions and won.
With several of those guys I just mentioned. Like the guys that I'd never heard of before. So the Pumas are such an inconsistent one, eh?
Yeah.
You genuinely don't know what you're going to get.
They're like a bit French.
They're the French team now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one other, which was at Eden Park.
I actually not have caught up. I got a feeling that the
Scotland played Samoa. I can remember hardly any of this game because I've watched like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games since then.
Scots did them, eh?
Yeah, 41-12.
Yeah. What kind of crowd did they get there?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, really solid. Like, heaps of Samoan fans there, a few travelling Scots fans, loud. Like, not sold out Eden Park, but not like embarrassing.
Was it Friday?
Yeah.
That's right. I saw a bloody guy, where the fuck was I? Newton.
Okay.
You know.
I saw a guy in a kilt.
And I saw a guy in a cafe in a Scottish jersey, and I was like, oh, they're playing, aren't they?
Yeah.
And he was sitting there on his laptop, eating haggis.
That's how you knew he was Scottish. Yeah, exactly. The haggis gave him away. He's
killing on his testes were hanging out the side. Like, you got a nut show,
true
him, bro.
Scotsman. Yeah, 41-12. I can't remember much about it other than the fact that this is the Scots' third game of their tour, albeit without all their Lions backline.
Yeah.
Like, they're starting 9, 10, 12, 13, 11. I think they got their full... Oh, no, Darcy Graham's gone as well for this one, so...
Yeah.
And their fullback. Yeah, basically their entire back line
is
with the Lions.
Yeah, right.
So... But it's still their third game. They played the Māori All Blacks, they played Fiji, and then now they're playing Samoa.
Win.
Whereas this is Samoa's first game since, I think, November or something last year?
Samoans
haven't played for fucking ages, and they look like it.
Really?
Yeah.
How many players, though, did they have from Wana Pacifica?
You know, the sad thing is, like some guys, like, you know, Miracle Failangi, he's the guy who plays for Moana Pacifica. He's like one of the guys in that Moana Pacifica squad who was like scouted from Samoa.
Yeah.
He's not like some, you know, Samoan kid who grew up in Auckland and plays club rugby and was one training squad for the Blues or something. Like, he didn't play for them in this game because he's got NPC rugby coming up.
And so literally, it's...
Because of the NPC contracts, these guys aren't free to play.
Oh, you're fucking kidding me.
Either that or if they did go to play for Samoa, they would be taking a financial cut to take time off work over the NPC.
Oh, there's something wrong with that system.
It's usually, we always give France shit with this, right?
Yeah.
Like if we're like, oh, this guy's not been released by his club for whatever tournament for Fiji. It's always some Fijian who's playing rugby in France, but we do it a lot.
It's for these fuckers. That's a bit shit. Like, especially, that's the whole point. The whole thing that the pitcher was a way to strengthen Ireland rugby.
Should release. There's several guys who could have played for Samoa, but because they got upcoming NPC games, didn't.
Oh, that is atrocious.
Yeah.
Fucking, it should be a massive honour to play for your country. Like, the highest pinnacle of the game that you can possibly achieve.
Yeah.
You know, playing in Auckland, like, playing Eden Park, that goat's my goat.
There you go.
It really does. Is it like, so the Samoan team, the Samoa sub, is it that the New Zealand Rugby Union is like, well, we're not going to pay you to play for Samoa?
And then, I think, basically, yes.
And then Samoa doesn't have the money in their national...
Yeah,
and
like
their kitty to make it worthwhile for those players.
Every union funds their players in different ways. Like, some do like match fees. Like, you know, if you pay, you get paid. But Samoa, I don't think, has a heck of a lot of money to pay the guys to play for Samoa. They have to do it for the love of it. Whereas, by all accounts, if you take time off from your NPC, then you're going to take a pay cut to go play for Samoa. So a lot of guys just like, I better play for my NPC.
Samoa's prep for my NPC.
It's not even the NPC, it's just preseason.
So bad. Samoa's experienced a lot of mismanagement, haven't they, over the years as well?
Something's not right about that. You feel like the NPC teams should be, I don't know if it's NZR or if it's the NPC teams or whatever
it's the same thing, isn't it, really? The NZR are people who provide the money to the provinces.
Certainly, whatever it is, these guys should be like encouraged to go play for Samoa.
So Counties Manukau is like...
Go get some test rugby experience and then come back to play for us.
But then they're like, well, we're not going to pay you to not play for us.
I think so.
Like, you're not going to pay... The business side of it is you're not going to play somebody else to work for a business that's not your business.
Yeah, and then potentially get injured.
Yeah. It's something going wrong.
Sucks. Something's not right about that.
So they've got to do. There has to be some sort of arrangement with Moana Pacifica and the NZR to be able to open these guys up. This is something that should.
It's
have
not
been,
just Moana Pacifica.
This is
players,
something should have been.
Generally.
This is something that should have been ironed out at that level. That the international and Super Rugby, even the bringing them in to that competition on what it was actually going to do for them, because the whole point was to strengthen it, and it's devalued. It's doing the opposite. It's weakening. Mm. I was going to say de-strengthening, but weakening is a better word, isn't it?
There you go.
But that's irritating.
The Scots did well.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 4 first half tries. They kept the Samoans scoreless in the first half. Samoans scored 2 second half tries. Samoa got better as the game went on because these guys haven't played together.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, Scotland, without a back line that's with the Lions, still did very well to win 41-12.
Yeah. All right. Quickly, next week, any changes to the Lions? Who do you bring in? Who do you pop out?
I think they're pretty steady. Farrell loves a bit of steady Eddie.
I would like a bit of Doohan van der Merwe.
James Lowe didn't cover himself in glory.
No.
But I don't think Andy changes much. Maybe if Mac Hansen's fit.
Bundy Aki not starting. That was interesting.
Depends on Ringrose, because Ringrose was injured. I think if Ringrose is fit, I feel like you'd put them in as a pair.
Yeah.
But the Scottish midfield is Jones and Tupelotu did well, so why break it if it ain't
broke? Okay. Any changes on the Wallaby side?
I said it won't happen, but maybe you chuck in Donaldson or Jock at 10, James O'Connor, maybe.
Just because you have to. Because
you got to pull that trigger.
I reckon Jock might be like, hey.
Jock on the bench, maybe.
Or maybe he's like, I've built my whole life for this moment.
Maybe.
Give it to me, Schmitty.
Yeah.
Give it to me hard, Schmitz. Oh, well. When's that game on? That's obviously Saturday night.
Saturday night.
9:30.
There's not a lot of other games on. There is a story you may not have heard. The under 20s.
I have heard.
We lost. We got a red card.
Typical.
Red card final against the Box.
Yeah. Was it a 20-minute red?
Yeah, 20-minute red.
Oh, yeah.
I only watched the highlights.
I didn't even watch
that. At the risk of pissing off Box fans, I looked at our red card and I was like, okay. And then there was one of the, they got a yellow card and I was like, I thought that looked worse. But anyway, I've only watched the highlights. The Box led from start to finish, so obviously they did something right.
I made a real complimentary video about the Box.
You did.
I did. Well, I wrote one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've made one, and I wrote one recently. Really complimentary. And then after my hate that I got last week, I was like, well, sod you guys, I'm not going to make that. But maybe I will.
You might. Yeah. Other news.
Yes.
Do you remember we talked about Jake White, the Bulls coach?
Jakey Whitey.
About he was kind of bitching about, I don't have the fucking players for this shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He acted like a bit of a twat.
And he got sacked for it.
Did he?
Yeah. So they've replaced him with your Ruan Ackerman. Who's the guy? Do you remember when the Lions were really good? They made like 2 Super Rugby finals in a row. Like they lost the Crusaders at home, then they lost the Hurricanes over here.
Yeah.
That coach.
Ah, nice.
He's coming back to
coach. Is
that
the end of Jake White's career?
Don't know. He's getting on. So hang up the. He's going to punditry. He's always got a bit of something to say.
You going to punditry or just spend some
time. Come on the pod.
We've never had a guest, but you can be the first old whitey.
And also, Jono Gibbs is going to fill the vacant Chiefs spot.
Well, you've got no space for a guest.
No, you have to fly out here to West Auckland.
If you're a guest, you have to sit here with the fucking 2
Bring your own chair and your own microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
We do have a couple of spare ports if you've got...
Yeah, we do have a couple of spare ports.
Yeah.
We don't have I don't know how we'd film it.
It'd be awkward.
We can have them like...
We need to get a couch. So, Jake... How was the flight?
Oh, it could have been better if I got a better seat. You can't expect a man like me. You know, the likes of the Lancers, well, they get first class.
That's right. Jono Gibbs is going to coach the Chiefs.
Is this unsettling?
Yeah, kind of. Jono Gibbs, former Chiefs legend. He's going to coach the Chiefs because, you know, I'm thinking of Dave Rennie's guy. It's not fucking Dave Rennie. What's his name? The guy's going to Munster.
Mickey.
Guy who lost all the Super Rugby finals.
Yeah, Mick.
What's his name?
Mickey.
Clayton McMillan.
There you go.
Yeah, he's off. So, Jono Gibbs, proper Chiefs man.
Yep.
I think Chiefs fans will be happy about
and,
that.
And he also captained the 2005 Māori All Blacks to beat the British and Irish Lions.
There you go.
In a great game. Rua Te Pauki played fantastic in that game. Love a bit of Rua Te Pauki.
Didn't you play with them?
No, I played with Rudy Wolf.
Oh, Rudy Wolf.
Yeah, and Anthony Barich.
There we go.
Happy days. All right, Mark, that was another week of rugby.
If you want to sponsor and buy us some beers,
you might.
Email me.
Do it for the 2CGD.
Yeah.
That you
we'll discuss your product or service or yes. just your CV.
We do some great ad reads.
We do.
The only thing I like about...
We get pretty good value for money, I think.
We end up going into a diatribe and just chatting about the sponsor for like 10 minutes. And sometimes I look at it and I'm like, fuck, we talked about yacht sailing for ages. We're like, okay, there's a hypothetical, right? If I'm in Dubai...
We talk about the game for 5, and we talk about the yacht delivery for 10.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mark. Fantastic. Well done.
Good on, champ.
Brilliant.
See you next week.
Ha-de-da.